B'tchilu rechimu, with great fear and with great love, we're beginning to talk about an anticipation of the yard site of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We're beginning to talk about the Or Shiva Siyam, the light of the 7 days of creation, the Shoresh, the root of the Or HaChasidus, of the light of all Chasidus, Rabbi Yisrael ben Eliezer, known as the Baal Shem Tov. I say with Tchilu and Rechimu, with fear and with love, because obviously one has to be filled with a sense of trepidation when talking about a person regarding whom the Mizrucha Magid had received, had heard, that even if the Baal Shem Tov would have been in the days of the Tanoim, he would have been Pilei Ploim, Amyuchadim Shebet Tanoim, he would have been wondrous even amongst the other Tanoim. Even amongst the Tanoim, he would have been a wonder. And he had a neshama that came from the highest places, in the neshama me'atzilus, from the highest level of ruchnias. And therefore, for people like us to venture into the life and teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, certainly such a voyage must be undertaken b'tchilu rechimu, with fear and with love, realizing that we're never going to be able to touch even the kotze, the edge, even the k'tzais drach of the edge of his wondrous ways, nor to touch even the edge of his teachings, which all the tzaddikim and all the different drachim, the ways of chassidus, whether it's Chabad or Chagas, or the tzaddikim from Russia, from Poland, from Galicia, with the different dachi halimud that they all received from this one great master, and from that great light came forth many, many different sparks, brilliant sparks that have illuminated these days before Mashiach. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was Megala Teres HaMashiach, the beginning of those Giluyim, of those revelations leading to the days of Mashiach. Now, I want to make it clear that I'm not going to be spending these Shiurim talking about the Sipuri Maisis, the stories of the Baal Shem Tov's life. Koidem Kol Rabmehe. There are many, 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 and it's difficult. It's difficult to distinguish between those maisim where we have a true Kabbalah from the tzaddikim and other maisim which are questionable. And there are so many stories that I could recommend a number of this form. They've been translated into many languages, the Shivchei Baal Shem and other form that contain many of these wondrous stories. We will discuss what we know, what we receive from Tzaddikim Ma'amitim. We receive certain Sipurim stories that are necessary in order for us to understand the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and to find the Pesach, an opening into that life of that great Tzaddik. But to go into all of the stories is certainly not something we could even try to do. We'll talk about the history of that Sefer, the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, which is one of the earliest sources from 1815. By their calendar, it's one of the earliest sources of stories of the Baal Shem regarding parts of it that might be questionable. Generally, it's accepted to be factually correct, but there certainly are certain exaggerations. I've told you many times that the Sanzer of the Divrei Chaim said that if you believe all the Sipurim that they say about the Chassidim, say about the Rebbes, if you believe the stories, then you're a fool. And if you don't believe them, then you're a Rasha. So we have that choice. We stand someplace in between being fools or being wicked, and I've chosen to be a fool. And we believe the Ma'isim. Nevertheless, we still are required to exercise some degree of restraint and discernment when looking into the stories of the life of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We'll talk about his life, and little that we know, mostly it's shrouded in great mystery. But I wanted to begin with tonight, the first shiur, I wanted to begin by reading what some of the tzaddikim of the Doris of the generations had to say about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, because I feel simply too overwhelmed to jump right into the inyan. Therefore, I find that it's necessary to, as you see here in a collection of some sources that you have in front of you, that have been photostated for you, to go through some of these makaris from earlier tzaddikim, to get a little bit of a picture, of a feeling for the way that they viewed the Baal Shem Tov, the way that they saw the Baal Shem Tov. And that, I think, would be the most fitting way for us to enter into that gate of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his teachings. You see on the first page, from the Beis Aharon that's brought down from the Tzaddikim of Kalin, Kabbalah b'yad ha-tzaddikim shebal Shem Tov, hayim ha-isen ha-neshamish nistalku u-baruch u-kaidim chayt eitz adas, v'lo ita'amut mi-eitz adas klal. It's hard for us to understand, but there's a Kabbalah b'yad ha-tzaddikim, that there were certain neshamas, that were not present, that escaped, that ran away, that did not participate, so to speak, with Adam HaRishon. Even Adam HaRishon included with him the neshamas that somehow, on some level, beyond their understanding, there were neshamas that were able to escape and did not participate in the chait of Adam HaRishon. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, there's a Kabbalah that he was one of those neshamas that did not participate in the achila, in the act of eating from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov HaRa. This concept, in different shapes and forms, we'll find reappears throughout the writings of the Talmidei HaBashah. We'll come back to them a little bit later. Similarly, if you look at the next one, is from the Tzadik of Isaacal from Spinka. Yedush Nishmas Rabbeinu Eloki HaBaal Shem Tov Zchus Yagen Alein HaYakalu Kol Nishmas Yisrael. We know that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh included within him. He was the Neshama Klolis. He was an inclusive Neshama. All Yidden, all Jews were included in his Neshama. And he brings the Maise from the, there's a Maise Kodesh V'Noira from the Rebbe Reb Melech. Now for an authentic and more detailed telling of this story, you'll see I focused on it after that. What is the story that the Rebbe Isaacal, that the Tzaddik of Yitzhak Isaac from Spink is referring to? And if you look there on the bottom of the second page, there's a photostat of the Sipur HaYadua, of the known story regarding what took place with the Holy Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhensk, and his famous student, Rebbe Kolonimist, the author of the Sefer Mor HaVeShemesh. First, it's important to know that it was considered to be a great privilege to be Meshamesh, the Rebbe of Melech, and the Tzaddikim said that whoever had this chus to serve and to take care of the Rebbe of Melech, that person, that individual, was zeichet to see great and wondrous things. But the Talmud, who was given the privilege of spending the last few years being Meshamesh, taking care of the Holy Rebbe of Melech, was the author of the Mor HaVeShemesh. And it once happened, and this was at the end of the Rebbe of Melech's life, it once happened that a number of times on the same day, the Rebbe Elimelech warned his student Mor HaVeShemesh, and he told him, "V'chazakta v'yisa le'ish, be strong, be courageous, because tonight you're going to see Neroyis v'neflos, you're going to see the greatest wonders that had ever been seen." And we know that there were ma'isim like this that happened a number of times that the Mor HaVeShemesh had described himself, before we get to the actual ma'isa regarding the Baal Shem Tov, that there was a time that the Mor HaVeShemesh said, in the early days of his shimush, when he was taking care of the Rebbe Elimelech, that it happened more than once that he would be sitting outside the door and he didn't see anybody enter through the door throughout the night, and he was sitting out there learning and saying Tillim. And then the Rebbe Elimelech would call him, and he would look at him, he would come inside, and he saw a person, Ish Zaken, upon of Meiris, an older man with Hadras Panim. And the Mor HaVeShemesh said that when it once happened, he saw such an individual, and he literally fainted. He passed out because of the great, awesome look upon that tzaddik's face, who was sitting with the Rebbe Elimelech. And finally, the Rebbe brought him about, and when the Mor HaVeShemesh was revived, the Rebbe Elimelech said to him, "I have never seen a child so afraid of his father. Why would a child faint in the presence of his father?" And he revealed to the Mor HaVeShemesh that Haloize Avraham Avinu. That was Avraham Avinu. So we get an understanding, we have a feeling that the Mor HaVeShemesh was rogel, was used to seeing great things by the Rebbe Elimelech. Nevertheless, on this particular occasion, the Rebbe Elimelech warned the Mor HaVeShemesh to be strong and courageous, because tonight you're going to see things that you never saw before. And this warning took place a number of times through the day. Finally, let's read inside. The Karav L'chatzais Laila, his hero Oit Pam Kanal, it was a short time before midnight, and the Rebbe Elimelech warned the Mor HaVeShemesh again, to be careful, to be strong. And the Rebbe Reb Melech put on his garments, it sounds like he would put on his Shabbos clothing. And he took Makolo, his stick, His staff, they went to a mountain that was near the Rebbe Melech's house. To make things more, it was just to try to picture this, how spooky this was, it was also by the cemetery. That's where that mountain was. They came there. As his hero, the Rebbe Melech warned the Moravid Shemesh to be strong. He strengthened them again. And the Rebbe Melech put on his girdle and he tightened his belt and he took the hand of the Moravid Shemesh and he tightened the hand within the belt of the Rebbe tightened the hand of the Moravid Shemesh inside his own belt. And what happens is the Rebbe Rebbe Melech looked up towards heaven. When it came to exactly midnight, Oman knew. A door opened. Whatever took place there, the clouds moved over, something happened. And a great, great fire emerged from the heavens. And from this great fire, sparks flew and spread out throughout the entire world. And the Moravid Shemesh could not look anymore. It was so frightening. He closed his eyes. Then those sparks that were all over the world gathered together. And they went into the earth. All of the sparks gathered together into this great fire. And the fire shot into the earth. It was by their feet. When some time passed, Omar Rebbe died. The Rebbe Melech said, it's enough. The door that was opened in heaven shut, and the fire stopped. Now we know who the Baal Shem Tov was. And let me just mention here, then the Svarim HaKadoshim has brought down that the Moravid Shemesh said that he saw the face of the Baal Shem Tov in each spark as it flew out from that great fire. He saw the face of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So let's get back to the story here. So he says, now we know who the Baal Shem Tov was. He told me his palan l'raisa. We've always davened to see him. Veishim, he said, Shabazayilim, Iev Shal HaRaisa, we've davened. And it was told to me, the Rabbi Elamel says, that in this world you can't possibly see him because of his greatness. Rak b'olam haba, only in the world to come. So I responded, the Rabbi Elamel says, I told them, meaning I said, in my davening to Hashem, that I know that I can't actually see and understand the greatness of the Baal Shem Tov while in a physical garment, but show me some physical apparition, some physical revelation, a manifestation of his greatness. The Iftichlonu, and the Rebbe Melech says, it was promised to me, Shekaidim Tirosa, that before my death, Yaro Yisraelonu, this will be shown to me. Ukaes, he says, Herulonu Zayis Ha'esh HaGedoyli Nishmas HaBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh. This great fire is the soul of the Baal Shem Tov HaElun, it cites us, or Shispashtu B'chala HaElun, the sparks of light that have dispersed throughout the world. Zeu Koyach HaTayr V'Achsidah Shaloi. This is the strength and power and energy of his Torah and of his Chassidus. Shal Yodim Eskayim Gam Ka'es HaElun, that even to this day, the world is standing through the energy, the power, and the strength of those sparks of the fire of the Baal Shem. V'teid and the Rebbe Melech then concluded by saying, you should know. Ki ba'oid eze yomim epotem in ha'olam, in a few days I will leave this world. I will die. Ukshi yechashu ha'talmidim eheichan sheyikbaraisi, when the Talmidim are going to try to decide where to bury me, Taimer say, Ki bekan hi mokim nuchasi, this place where our feet stand, this place by Hashem, shebekan holcha nishmas of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, where we saw the fire of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh's neshama, this is the place where I want to be buried. V'notl ha-Rebbe ba'atzmei ha-ba'etzim ketanim. And the Holy Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhenz took four little trees, pieces of wood, v'hamidim mekarka, and he placed them in the ground, lismei ha-mokim, to designate that place, which is the mokim ha-kvura of the Rebbe Elimelech from Lezhenz, ad etzim ha-yoyim hazeh. And now the Jews are able to go there. The 21st of Adar is the day where thousands of people go to the place of the burial place of the Rebbe Melech, where there's a Kabbalah that he and the Moravid Shemesh had this great vision of the fire of the Holy Baal Shem. And there are many, many nisim and nifloyos that have been reported regarding the kever, regarding the tzion of the Rebbe Elimelech, and Jews go there ad etzem hayom hazeh to daven for Yeshua. If you take a look at the next page, there's a remarkable Torah here from the Knesset Yisrael, from the holy tzaddik of Avraham Yaakov, from Sadigur, the son of the Heilige Rishon, of the Rishoner. And he brings, if you look at the top of page 41, please, he brings at the top of the page that regarding Adam HaRishon, it says, Kibyom HaChol Chamimena Mois Thomas, on the day that you eat from the tree, you will die. Now, obviously, he did not die on that day, and the Rabban and other Mepharshim explained that the meaning of that is you will become on that day a mortal human being who will ultimately die. Nevertheless, Pasuk Pshat, it says, you will die on that day. Nevertheless, as you know, he lived, he lived almost another 1,000 years, with the exception of the 70 that he gave, that he donated to David HaMelech. He lived 930 years. So the Rebbe from Sadegeri brings down a Kabbalah. Did you do it? Tali day tshuva shalsa, through the tshuva, through the repentance, through the return of Adam HaRishon. Ofach Hashem Yisbarach yoyim eliyem shul kodesh baruch. Hashem had rachmonis in Adam HaRishon. Whereas Hashem told him, on the day you will eat from the tree, you will die. A day can be measured in human way, or it can be measured by the Baruch Shalom's calendar. One day on the Baruch Shalom's calendar is 1,000 years. As we say every Shabbos, from the Kapitel in Tehillim, ke'elev shonim ke'beinecha ke'yayim esmol. That a day by us is like 1,000 years is one day by the Baruch Shalom. So Hashem changed the day. Kibiyom HaCholchi, he did die on that day, but it was not a human day. It was on the day of the Baruch Shalom. So he died close to 1,000 years later. So what happened was, as the Sadegeri brings here, is that the Satan was Makatrik. The Satan was upset. How could it be? Sof kol sof, it says Pshat. The Pshat is, on the day he eats in the tree, he'll be punished, he'll die. So the Satan was Makatrik. So the Rebbe from Sadegeri says, Kedei l'salik es ha-kateger, in order to quiet down the kateger, to quiet him down, as we're going to read about soon in the parashas Achrei Mais, and especially in the parish of the Ramban, sometimes a gift has to be given, an offering to the Azazel, such as we see with the seal Azazel, to be Mephayas the Makatrik, to quiet down and to appease the prosecutor, the one who is seeking to destroy. So too, that's what took place over here. And what was the gift? What was the bribe, so to speak, to quiet down the Makatrik? So the Rebbe brings that there were Arba Neshamas, that there were four souls that were given Kvushim Tachas Yad HaSamach Mem, that were given as gifts to be held captive by the Samach Mem, by the evil one. And when did this end? When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Luchas. So we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Luchas, so Chazal tell us that all the Malachim wanted to give Moshe Rabbeinu Matatz. After the initial dispute that they had, they gave Matanas gifts to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the evil one, the Satan, also is a Malach. He also wanted to give gifts. So what did he give? So he gave these four neshamas back. And that's the Pshat in Pasuk. I shouldn't say Pshat, but that's a deep hint that's found in the Pasuk in Tilim Samaches, Alisa Lamarim, Shavisa Shevi Lakachta Matanas Ba'odim. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens and he brought back the ones who were captive, Matanas Ba'odim, and the gifts were the gifts that were taken because of Odom. So he brings a Kabbalah that this is referring to these four neshamas. Moshe Rabbeinu retrieved them, the ones that were taken captive. That's why he says B'tevas Shevi, the captivity. It says in Pasuk Shavisa Shevi Shin Beis Yud. We have hinted who were these four. So he says that the letter Shin Beis Yud stands for Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon, whose Hilula will be very soon. Ulam Afreya, the letters backwards spell Yitzchak Ben Shlomo, who's the Ari HaKadosh, and also Yisrael Baal Shem, that's also Shin Beis Yud. In other sources, it's brought down in the Kamarna Svarim that it's for Yisrael Ben Sora. Shin Beis Yud is Yisrael Yud Beis Shin, Yisrael Ben Sarah, that's the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And then the Sadegeri concludes with his father, Yisrael Ben Sholem. Yisrael Ben Sholem is the Holy Rishoner. Again, that's, of course, that's found in the Rishoner Svarim, that's not found in the other Svarim necessarily, but the Rishoner was certainly worthy of being on that list. Akalpadim, we get an idea here once again, that there's something extraordinary about the neshama of these individuals, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was not just a great tzaddik. Just like the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Shimon, these were not just great and awesome tzaddikim, but they have a place, so to speak, in the Merkava, in the chariot. They have a place in the workings of this world, in the unfolding of that great fire of Mashiach Tzidkenu. That each one of these tzaddikim has a unique role in the continuum. It's one process. It's the process from Rabbi Shimon till the secrets of Rabbi Shimon that Rabbi Shimon received. From Rabbi Kiva, will receive from the Kadmonim, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, the great secrets of Torah that are going to be revealed with Mashiach. That those great secrets are unfolding and that parts, bits and pieces are being let out of captivity through the centuries. And that the great liberator, the great fighters for the liberation of this great deep mystery of Mashiach Tzidkenu at the end of time is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to take out from the Shevi, and Yitzchak ben Shlomo the Ari HaKadosh, and the Holy Rabbi Rabbi Yisrael ben Sora the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That these three are retrieving the matanas, the great gift of what a human being can be, of what a human being can become. And ultimately this will be revealed fully with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. If you look at the bottom then, you see that it's brought from the tzaddikim, this is already from the Shivchei Baal Shem, photos that are from Shivchei Baal Shem, that the Baal Shem Tov said that the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov brings from his father-in-law, Rabbi Alexander, that the Baal Shem Tov used to say regarding himself, that the Baal Shem Tov said that he was a Gilgal from Reb Sadi Gaon. As a matter of fact, there were tzaddikim, as it's brought down here also, there were tzaddikim that were in the circle of the Baal Shem Tov, who testified to the fact that even though they did not hear the Baal Shem Tov specifically refer to himself as being a Gilgal reincarnation of Rabbi Sadia, but nevertheless it was known amongst them that the Baal Shem Tov was Shoiket al Svarav, that he was extremely, extremely devoted to the Svarim, to the teachings of Rabbi Sadia Gaon. Finally, if you look on page 46, We have here some Kabbalahs from Chabad Svarim. The first is from the Sefer HaKira that's brought from the Tzamach Tzedek Schus Yagen Aleinu, where it's brought that B'chol Dor V'Dor, that in every generation, Gamachra HaNeviim, even after the time of prophets, Hashem is Baruch Mara Oitzes HaMoivsim Yisrael, that Hashem reveals through certain tzaddikim great miraculous things. As we see, it says by the Tanoim and Amoraim that describe the Midrashim, great miraculous things that took place through them. And the Gamachareim at the time of the Rokeach, Rabbi Yudah Chosid and so on. Chasidei Ashkenaz and Tzaddikim. And the Gam Harizal, where we know from the Shivchei Hari, Pilei Plois Moistim Shahai Hashem Ezberach Maral Yodo, that there are times when the world is falling asleep, when Yidden are falling asleep, and they need some sort of shock treatment. And the shock treatment requires the revelation of great, great Nisim Neflois to individual tzaddikim. So, and we know he brings also, we know from the Rav Beis Yosef, Kiyadu, there was a Magid, there was a Malach who was teaching him Torah. We have an entire Chibur, a Sefer. Magid Meisharm of the teachings from the Malach that was appearing to the Rav, to the Beis Yosef. And then he writes, V'achareim b'dor shelefaneinu ha-Baal Shem Tov Zal. This was the one in our generation, was the Baal Shem Tov. Asha kamohu lahoyim imoyse rishonim pele plois nisam ayotzim ateva hayin nirim al yada. That since the days of the earliest ones, we have not seen such great miracles as were seen in the days of the Baal Shem Tov. Kasher shamati me'adoni zekeri mori v'rabi. As the Tzemach said, it says, I heard from my grandfather, the Baal HaTanya. Shehu v'talmidai harav ha-magid, that together with the student of the Baal Shem Tov, by many considered to be the greatest student of the Baal Shem Tov, the Holy Mizritcha Magid, ho-yuroyim yisafa oylem v'ad saifai mamish bein ri'iyah. Ho-yuroyim masha ho-yuroyim. Kasha ha-yan nira ba'olu lo-talmidem. Lo-talmideim. Where these tzaddikim, reported that by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh there were miracles that were seen ad kedei kach. These were people that were able to, that the Baal Shem Tov was able to see me soif ha'olam v'ad soif ha'be'ein ri'iyah, that it was able to see from one end of the universe to the other, and all was revealed, all was mamish revealed before him. But this was with the koach of the Or HaGonos, with the hidden light from creation that was set aside for the tzaddikim for the end of time. Then finally, Finally, the last piece we're going to do tonight was Harav HaKadosh, Rav Menachem Mendel Melubavitch has brought that in Ma'isiyas, Bal Tzemach Tzedek, Shoma Mizikeinai. Harav HaKadosh Rav Shnei Zalman Miliadi Zatzal. So Shoma Yirab HaMagid HaGol Mimezrich. Kebol Shem Tov Hoyler Hiya Gashmiz Liris Arba Meyes Parsois Lav Meyes Parsois. That the Bal Shem Tov HaKadosh was able to see 400 parsois by 400 parsois by 400, a distance of 400 parsois of B'nai Shel Bal Shem Tov and the son of the Bal Shem Tov, meaning the Holy Rebbe Rav Tzvi Hirsch, Hayaloi Re'iya Gashmiz Lirois Arborim Parsois, Arborim Parsois, saw a distance of 40 Parsois by 40 Parsois. And when the Tzemach Tzedek said it over, he said, Leitizba Re'iya Ruchanis, I'm not talking about spiritual vision. That was without end, as we saw in the last piece, that was able to go from one end of the universe to the other. I'm not speaking about that, Rag. Zahaya Re'iya Gashmiz Mamish, that physically, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh had such vision, physically. Eyes that saw such a distance, and Ruchnius with his ideas, with his knowledge, his spiritual vision, that was something that was ad ein saif, that was mamish without end, that was without end. We'll have to stop early now, and in Mitzvah Shem we're going to continue a little bit with some more of these descriptions of the Talmidim and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and to begin to discuss in the order the Seder of the life of the Or HaShivas HaYomim, Maran Rabbeinu Baal Shem Tov. Good night. Okay. last week we began to talk about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and I said that instead of trying to go right away into a discussion of the few facts that we know about the earlier years, so I thought it would be more bekavedik, it would be proper to read some of the things that the tzaddikim of the generations had to say about the Holy Baal Shem, to get an idea of how we have no idea. And that was the only way that I really felt comfortable that we could begin to learn this sugya. Otherwise, it's just too terrifying to even undertake such a thing. So we're on page 46. We're going to finish this up tonight, and then next week, Yemit Hashem, we're going to begin to talk about some of the facts that we know. Again, I'm not going to be going into long stories. There are hundreds and hundreds of stories, Baruch Hashem, and there are books available, and I don't really think that that's something that we need to work on. I mean, a couple here and there, famous ones, but not really to go into all the Sipurim. We're on page 46, the last item there is from the Rebbe Rashab, Reb Shalom Ber, from Lubavitch. I think we might have done it at the end last time, but this is something that, on this note, we're going to continue with the discussion. Yadua b'Habal Shem Tov Zal, asher hazman u'mokim lahoya magbil u'malim lufon of klal. It was known that by the Baal Shem Tov, time and place did not in the slightest bit limit or restrict his actions. We have many, many, many stories. The Baal Shem Tov was able to see into the distant future. And he was able to see also in terms of distance of place, he was able to see what was taking place very far away. This comes from the fact that the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov, as we spoke about at the beginning last week, that the neshama, the soul of the Baal Shem Tov, was above time and was above place. That on this madrega, the Baal Shem Tov existed. Now there's on the bottom of the page, from the Sefer Piskei Teshuva, you see the note? Mm-hmm. There's a fascinating fact that I'm sure the Misnagdim will deny. So when we have the Shiyom on the Misnagdim, we'll talk more about that. Now listen what it says in the Sefer Piskei Teshuva that was written by one of the Choshev HaTalmid Chacham, one of the Goyim in Poland in the last generation. Sipili Yedidei HaRav HaGoyin, I think that's Reb Simcha Bunim Sachachovsky, Shekibel Mizikena HaGoyin HaKadosh Rav Feivel Migritza, was one of the great tzaddikim. Ki harabonis eishes hanodi b'Yehuda haisa krovus abal shem tov hakadosh. This is one of the twists of irony in history. The Noida b'Yehuda, the great, great posik, the Godel Hador, the great master of the generation, the Noida b'Yehuda, his name was Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, the Rav of Prague. He was also the author of the Tzlach, Tzila Nefesh Chaya. The Noida b'Yehuda was a staunch opponent to the Hasidim. He was a misnagid. And it happened that his Rebbetzin was a relative of the Baal Shem Tov. I think that the Shidduch took place before that the whole lineage of the Baal Shem Tov was revealed. Pamachas, it happened once. Sipra b'shvachel lefnei baila. Once the Rebbetzin, the Noida b'Yehuda's Rebbetzin, was praising the Baal Shem Tov, was saying great things about the Baal Shem Tov in the presence of her husband. That the Rebbetzin of the Noda B'Yehuda said that she herself was there. She saw with her own eyes that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, who as you know lived in the Ukraine, that the Baal Shem Tov raised Kriya, he tore as a sign of mourning when he said that the Arachayim HaKadosh has died in Eretz Yisrael. The great tzaddik, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, died in Eretz Yisrael. At that time, the Baal Shem Tov tore Kriya. This would not work out with the possibility that the Aruch Haim HaKadosh died on Shabbos. So it could be that he tore Kriya after Shabbos. Akal Panim, she saw with her own eyes the Baal Shem Tov tearing Kriya over the Aruch Haim. So she was talking about the great Ruach HaKadosh, the spirit of holiness, the vision of the Baal Shem. So of course, the Noda B'Yehuda did not care for that. So Vayan Hai Noida B'Yehuda, Hein Lu Yiya Shiruach HaKadosh Mafia B'Kibbul. Let's say, okay, could be. It could be. In other words, he's not going to say his wife didn't see that. The wife was there. His wife was there when it happened. His wife was there when it happened. So he's not going to say it never happened. So he says, Lu Yihi, let's say, Ken Zayin, that it happens that the Baal Shem Tov has such a great vision that the Baal Shem Tov was able to see from the Ukraine what's happening all the way in Eretz Yisrael. So what did Noda B'Yehuda want to do? Noda B'Yehuda says, let's say he had Ruach HaKadosh, but he's not Maharetz. The Baal Shem Tov is not Maharetz. Why is he not Maharetz? God forbid. In other words, he was an ignoramus. He didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't allowed to tear Kriya. Why? Because really, according to the Halacha, it's a very big problem for a person to go, God forbid, and tear a piece of clothing. Why? It's hashchasa. You're not supposed to ruin something. You're not supposed to stomp to ruin something. You're not allowed to tear clothing to ruin things. So the only heter is rak misakin hu b'hamitzvah. The reason you're allowed to chalila, if necessary, to rise kriya. Why are you allowed to? Because it's not considered to be destroying. Because since there's a mitzvah, the Chacham instituted called kriya. So since we have such a thing which has a sherish m'deraisa, so since there is such a thing. So therefore, it's not really considered to be a destructive act according to Halacha. It's considered to be the act that's a mitzvah, and because of the mitzvah, we're allowed to do that. But over here, in other words, what's his complaint about the Baal Shem Tov? But over here, there was no mitzvah. Why? Because he never actually, the Baal Shem Tov was not in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't there when the Aruch Haim HaKadosh died. It wasn't possible for him to receive any actual report of the death of the Aruch Haim. So he was using his spirit of holiness and tearing a garment. Everybody knows, Torah lo, b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in heaven. You can't destroy a good suit because you had a vision. So even if, let's say the Baal Shem Tov had such vision. Nevertheless, he didn't know what he was doing. He was over nisr, about tashchis. You know, there's a famous thing that I've said once before in the shul, Ramey Shapira. They once asked Rav Meir Shapira, the great Rav of Lublin, the famous tzaddik who instituted the Daf Yomi. Rav Meir Shapira was a guy in Olam, was a genius. And he was also very, very witty, very funny. So somebody once asked, Rav Meir Shapira was a chassid, was a follower of the Rebbe from Charkiv. So they asked Rav Meir Shapira, to sum up, what's the difference between a chassid and a misnagid? Between a chassid and the one and someone who's opposed to chassidus. So he says, I'll tell you, for example, that the Gemara, we know from Chazal, that the Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Yonason ben Uziel, when the great Tana Rabbi Yonason ben Uziel was learning, that a bird that would fly over his head would be burnt to a crisp because of the holiness of his Torah learning. So when a chassid would learn that Gemara,
the chassid would close his eyes and he would start crying, and he would say, Gevalt, at tzaddik oylem, at tzaddik, that he had such a kayach, his Torah was so powerful that it burnt the birds that were flying over his head. And the Misnagi would say, it's a shayla whether he's chayef to pay for the bird. In other words, a shayla nezikin, whether he's chayef to pay for the death of the bird. So, in a similar vein, what happened over here with the Nadi Behuda is that he wasn't so impressed by the Baal Shem's Ruach HaKodesh. The Nadi Behuda said that as far as his learning goes, it leaves much to be desired, because he wasn't supposed to tear his coat, because he wasn't there when it happened. He never saw it. He saw it with a vision. That's not Torah. We don't go like that. So what happened? So he says, you're not allowed to paskin with the Ruach HaKodesh to come to a halachic conclusion with the Ruach HaKodesh. So what did she do? Every good Rebbeson would do. She went and she reported this to the Baal Shem Tov. What her great tzaddik, what her famous husband, the Nadi Behuda, said. Now listen to the Baal Shem Tov's answer. In all due respect to his great honor, the great learner of Torah. He says, that's not, this was not Ruach HaKodesh. It wasn't the spirit of holiness, some divine inspiration that I had, that I knew that the Or HaChaim, the great Rabbi Chaim ibn Atar, the Or HaChaim, had passed away. Rak Re'iyah Tivis, I have normal eyes. I have regular eyes, natural eyesight. Me'or Shivis Yimei Bereishis, that comes in the light of the 7 days of creation. Shenivra Sheyistam Shebo HaBriyas, because Hashem created that light, as you recall, Chazal tell us, that with that original light of creation, man was able to see from one end of the world to the other. But because of the sin, that light was hidden and was saved only for the tzaddikim, for the righteous. So the Baal Shem Tov said that eyesight. The only thing that happens that, he says, in other words, I have healthy, normal eyesight. However, the person who has not lived according to the ways of the original intention of man's creation, says Makalkalainov, says the person who ruined his eyes, Nasek Tsaharus, that person becomes short-sighted, or he's not able to see. In other words, it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh. I have Baruch Hashem eyes, the way that eyes were created to work. My eyes, I saw this. In other words, because my Averis and my problems, or whatever, you know, there are no Averis or things that are in the way of my eyesight, and the original creation of eyes was to see from one end of the world to the other. The Mechilas Kvaiteros, in all due respect to Nadi Behuda, his eyes are not well. His eyes are not well, and his eyesight is not. But I saw with the normal eyes of a healthy person. So this goes back to what we were saying before last week, when we saw also from the Tzemach Tzedek. When the Tzemach Tzedek had heard from his grandfather, from Baal HaTanya, that the Baal Shem Tov was able to see 400 miles by 400 miles, such a distance, so the Tzemach Tzedek said from his grandfather that it wasn't referring to spiritual vision. Spiritual vision, the Baal Shem Tov had such vision through the entire universe, through the entire world. He was speaking physically, that he was able to see great distances, physically. Not even with closing his eyes and using the spirit of holiness, that he was physically able to see terrific distances. On page 47.
That's got to be more than 400 miles.
Or whatever that the specific amount, I don't know how much it came out. whatever it took to get there, it's a soul. Yeah, I wish all Mistagim should be like you. Okay. On page 47. Harav HaKadosh, Rabbi Nachman Breslov Zatzal. Now, Rabbi Nachman Breslov was a great grandson of the Baal Shem. So Rav HaKadosh Rabbi Nachman Breslov Hiflig B'Kiddushas Madregas of Baal Shem Tov Zal Bli Shir V'Erech Klal. He was always talking about the great Madregas of the Baal Shem Tov, which he knew from his own family, from his Mishpacha. U'Gishomer Me'inyan HaManhik Shetzarek Shiyah HaKadosh Shaparuz Godel Mibchinas Kiddushas Uprishas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom. And when Rabbi Nachman was once speaking about, was when Rabbi Nachman was once saying that a true Jewish leader has to have the Kedusha, the great Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiness of Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar Oz V'Samuch Liyameinu, and in our days, he said, Hoya Baal Shem Tov Zichron Levracha. And in our days, the one that we could speak of who had such Kedusha, had such precious, such holiness, was the Baal Shem Tov. The next piece is from the Mittler Rebbe, from the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, of Dov Ber. Sadikim HaMuflogim Shebedor Kemaya Baal Shem Tov Zal, Kishahoyelo Aliyas HaNeshama, Hayemushet Mikol Hakshamas Chayi Chumrius Gufo kumamis alif mamish. Ashla yagish kol keev vahaka. As the tzaddikim said that regarding the Baal Shem Tov, because these statements are found in many of the svarim of the tzaddikim. Just these are the ones that are where it's found perhaps in the shortest version, but it's found in many svarim. He says that the Baal Shem Tov was able to experience what's called an aliyas neshama, an ascent of his soul. He was able literally to send his neshama to sit in one place and to be able to send his neshama to connect to the higher world while he was in a physical body. We actually, as we're going to see a letter, we have one letter that remains, one authentic writing of the Baal Shem Tov that remains in the possession of the Jewish people, where he describes part of what he experienced during an aliyas neshama that he had Rosh Hashanah one year. And we're going to see that it's been translated into many languages. We'll see that a description of what the Baal Shem Tov had during that time of the aliyas neshama, when his neshama went up. And during that time, the Mittler Rebbe says that during that time, lo yagish kol keiv haka, the one who was able to project his neshama, the one who was able to send his neshama in such a way, during that time he feels no pain whatsoever. He's completely oblivious to whatever's happening in the physical world. The next statement is from the Divrei Yoel, from Sad Merov Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Hatanoim v'hamaroim v'hari HaKadosh v'Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Chusim Yegen Eleinu v'vada ha'hoi lahem gilui Moshe Rabbeinu o l'sholem pe'ezah b'china. That the Tanoim and the Amoroim, the earliest sages of the Gemara, of the Mishnah and of the Gemara, the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov, they certainly had Gilui Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only did they have Gilui Eliyahu, not only did they experience encounters with Eliyahu Navi, but they had Gilui Moshe Rabbeinu, which is an extraordinary madrega. And we'll talk more about that. And in general, the whole question of the Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov, which is a fascinating subject in itself, which we'll talk about, it'll take a week or two to discuss that. Who was the Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov? And there's a tremendous amount of mystery. What, how did the Baal Shem Tov become the Baal Shem Tov? He was an orphan. He was a behelfer. That means he was the one that was taking the children to the Malamed. He wasn't that for that. He would need a promotion yet. He used to take the children to the Malamed. And for a while he was a shamus in the shul. And what happened in between that he became the Baal Shem Tov, and who was his Rebbe? This is something that the Baal Shem Tov alluded to in a number of his statements. It's a fascinating subject, but unquestionably, the Baal Shem Tov was in touch with Nevi'im, with prophets, from earlier generations. And we'll talk more about that. Mitzvah Shem, we'll look at some of the sources also. Mibnei Aliyah, the next piece. Also from Mittler Rebbe, from Aksav Yad, from a written statement that we have from the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rebbeir. Hine ois na tzadikim shloi noidu ma'aseyim kenal. He says there are certain great, extraordinary tzaddikim, every single act in their lives, every single thing that they do, is with a deep spiritual intention to bring about yichudim, unifications, el yoidim, great unifications, but batzilus on the highest level of the spheres. And there were certain tzaddikim, not even all the tanoim, not all the masters of the Mishnah, but some of the tanoim had such a koach that every single thing that they did, every single physical act, had spiritual meaning, and was done. The physical act was done with specific intentions to bring about some sort of spiritual event. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Shahayi ben Ma'ara Yud Gimel Shonim, who was 13 years in the cave, separated from all physical life. Bavadala Hayyab Shari Lalakayim Kalamitzvis Maisius, Kamayayin Lakiddish, Umatsu Bepesach, Vesukhi Velulu Vachahai Gavna, even though we know from the Gemara that Rabbi Shimon was eating, that miraculously food was being brought to Rabbi Shimon, was growing, and he had the stream and so on. We were zeichet to be there by the place where there's a Kabbalah where the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's cave was. So even though that we know that he was eating and he was drinking b'derech neis, the question is where did he get his matzahs from? I mean, it was a long way to Kerestir, to Shatz Matzahs from, you know, to a Kotelia road, from Meiron. So how did the Rabbi Shimon how was he mekayim the mitzvahs? How did he have a lulav? How did he have a, what it was a sukkah? What about matzahs? And what about yayin for kiddush? What was all of this? So you could say, if you want to say that it was brought to him a derech neis, so then that's not an answer. The reason that it's not an answer is because a chefsel mitzvah, an object of a mitzvah, cannot be a chefsel shel neis, cannot be something that was created miraculously. It has to be a physical object of this world. So the question is, how was Rabbi Shimon in the cave? How was he with his son? How were they able to keep the mitzvahs? Kiddush and matzah and so on. Sukkah v'luluchai gad. Ach kol avodosim shom hoya al derech haruchnius. So the Mittler Rebbe says that certainly it's true that over there he wasn't able to. And you know, of course, that he wasn't able to go around looking for those things. Why couldn't he go around looking for those things? Because he was in great danger. He was the number one most wanted man by the Roman Empire. So he wasn't able to leave his hiding place. And of course, nobody knew where he was except for the Anavi. And the Mittler Rebbe says that he wasn't able. He wasn't able to observe these mitzvahs in a physical way. Therefore, all the avodah that he did was what al derech haruchnius, bechinas yichudim al yoyin v'aliyish, bechinas almadis kasiyish lamal, bechinas gilui hatayir mitzvahs v'almadis galia. That he was able to observe the mitzvahs. Of course, it doesn't mean he was able to fulfill the physical obligation of the mitzvah. To fulfill a mitzvah, one has to have the chefzah shel mitzvah. One has to have the physical objects. And he did not have the chefzah shel mitzvah. He didn't have the object of the mitzvah. Nevertheless, he was able to perform the yichudim, those unifications, those unbelievable things, that whatever it means in terms of his kavanas, his intentions to bring about, whatever you and I could bring about in a simple way. When we pick up a lulav and we don't realize what's happening, you pick up a lulav, you eat a piece of matzah, and you're causing all these unifications to take place. How much more so if a person has the kavanas, all the deepest intentions to bring about these yichudim? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, even without the chefzah shel mitzvah, without the object of a mitzvah, he was able to bring about these unifications that normally require the chefzah shel mitzvah. Of course, this is something that the Misnagdim would consider to be heresy, and he's not saying. And I don't believe that he's not saying that you could replace this. You see, could be a very dangerous statement to say that one could replace the physical mitzvah, God forbid, by meditating. That's not what he's saying, Chas v'Chalila. Obviously, wherever you're able to get the mitzvah, the physical object, you have to do that. He's only saying that Rabbi Shimon couldn't possibly obtain those objects. Therefore, he was performing these yichudim for lack of the objects of the mitzvah. Not to say that one can replace any physical mitzvah. These mysterious unifications, despite the fact that they're not sitting with the mitzvah in their hands, shenekroim b'nei aliyah, and these are called the b'nei aliyah, those who ascend, those who have the ability to ascend, mepchinas almadis kasiyah, who are connected to the world of concealment, v'nekroim nunu yom rabba, they are called the ones who sail upon the great ocean, k'may arizal v'chaveir, like the Ari HaKadosh and his chaveir, the Ari HaKadosh and his colleagues, the Ramak of Moshe Kodavero, the Beis Yosef, the Luchadoi, the Reb Shlomo Alkevitz, and so on, the Tzaddikim, the Reb Moshe Alshich, the Meguri Ari HaKadosh, the Charedim, all the Tzaddikim from the school of the Ari HaKadosh. Baal Shem Tov Zal, the Chaveir of Bedor, and the Baal Shem Tov, and his colleagues at his time. Again, my point here is I can't explain these things. I feel that it's important before we begin to hear them, to know that there is such a thing, and as I said last week, even though you might be skeptical, how could that happen, and so on, but as I said last week, nevertheless, they don't tell stories like this about us, right? So there's the fact that these are things that were discussed, that were understood, and we're talking about in a period of time that was at the time of the Baal Shem Tov, and shortly following the Baal Shem Tov, the kind of nisim and the flows, and the way the kabbalas that those tzaddikim had regarding the Baal Shem Tov are worthy of our listing a few of them. This next is from the tzaddik from Kamarna. Zohu inyan eloki, the bottom of 47. Zohu inyan eloki, madrega kedoshu shahanefesh soivil kol mash oyevelov, kitnas v'tzar v'yisurim. He says there's a great and awesome level of kedusha, of holiness, that a person can be on such a level, that despite the fact that he goes through all types of misery and suffering and pain, v'sameach behem, he rejoices in his pain, v'sos lasos v'tzayn koinah al manash lo lekabel pras. And the greatest joy that this tzaddik has is serving Hashem without any expectation for reward. Because this person is completely nullified, annihilated in God's presence, and he doesn't seek anything at all, only closeness to the master of the world, but no reward, no reimbursement. The Yichud Shema Yisbarach, and every act and every motion, every movement is for the sake of heaven. The Yichud Shema Yisbarach. V'chol zeh ki baal min yimaran aliki kodesh ha-kadoshim or shivas yom rabbeinu Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. And we have received from our Master, the godly, holy of holies, the light of the 7 days of creation, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, v'soiv chavi v'navshi v'libi tamen. He says, my beloved one, believe, v'mesh ahem and achrein v'dareinu sheiris Yisrael v'godlam and hanavim. He calls the Baal Shem Tov sheiris Yisrael v'godlam and hanavim. He calls him the greatest among the prophets. Marana Luki Kurdish Akadoshim Varena Rabbeinu Harav Yisrael ben Eliezer Baal Shem Tov Baila de Matronisa. I'm not going to explain that. Shezocha Lahalos Amalchus at Keser Shem Tov, that he was able to lift up the fallen glory of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, from the lowest place all the way up to the highest crown, to the very beginning of all things. Reisha de Lois Yada, to the beginning that is unknown. Asher Zocha Yidei Emunosa Be'Leikov. Now we're going to talk about this a great deal later on, meaning our discussions of the Baal Shem Tov. That the Tzaddikim said, that the Baal Shem Tov once said himself, that if you want to understand how was I able to reach these awesome Madregas, how was I able to reach this great level, with all these things that we're talking about, unifications and the Shema traveling and seeing from one end of the universe to the other, you want to know how I did this? So all the students are waiting for him to give some Kabbalistic, some mystical secret away with the letters of Hashem's name or something. And the Baal Shem Tov said, Emuna Pshuta. What does that mean? Simple faith. Emuna Pshuta. All the Madregas that I reached those levels because of my absolutely simple faith in Hashem. It is Emuna Pshuta. And Munasa will talk about that. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's simple faith. How simple could it have been? What does that mean, Emuna Pshuta? So, Aydei Munasa Belakov, the Dveikas Navsha B'Hashem, and the attachment that he had to Hashem, L'tachlis Emes B'Lishum Dover. Because he says, his entire rutz and his entire desire was to only be attached to Hashem's Baruch. There was no ulterior motive. And what he said was that any Jew could reach such a level. A person can reach such a level if there's no ulterior motive other than attachment to HaKadosh Baruch to reach these Madregas. Shana'as al Yodo Nisim, that there were miracles that took place through the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov performed miracles, Kamayla Rabbi Chanina ben Toysa, like the miracles that we have in the Gemara and the Midrasha from the great Tana, Rabbi Chanina ben Toysa, Oysan Dvar Mavhilin, these frightening and terrifying things, Lai Nira V'Lai Nishma Mi'yemois HaTanoim. These the kind of things that the Baal Shem Tov did just a generation before. They were seen by people that these tzaddikim spoke to. They were seen by tzaddikim, and we were going to see reports of things that were seen by contemporaries, people who lived at the time of the Baal Shem Tov, who saw these things. He says they were not heard of, nor were they seen since the days of the Tanoim. The Rabbi HaMuvak. Now here we have mention of the Baal Shem Tov's Rebbe. We're going to spend some time talking about this tradition among the Hasidim, that the Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov was one of the mysterious Nevi'im who's mentioned in Tanakh, but we know very, very little about. Achya HaShiloni HaNavi. The Navi Achya HaShiloni. We're going to talk about that a great deal. V'dova kot mi dvarvu ma'ayan ha'chachma ha'gdom ha'amitas ha'kol kisvei maran ha'ari. And this prophet revealed to the Baal Shem Tov teachings, and these teachings will help us to properly and fully understand the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal, the deepest mysteries of creation. And the Baal Shem Tov was filled with wisdom and fear of sin and truth and righteousness and humility. And he was humble, of humble spirit, ayin mamish. He held himself to be absolutely nothing. The Ruach HaKadosh, the spirit of divine inspiration, was Shechina Shoyin Alav B'Kriyas. It wasn't that once in a while he would be divinely inspired. It wasn't that the Baal Shem Tov would occasionally have this mood, or would occasionally have some deep insight. The Baal Shem Tov lived in a state of perpetual spiritual awareness, in a continuous state of Ruach HaKodesh, of Dveikas Hashem, of attachment to Hashem. The Rega Kotten, in one moment, Sipa B'chol HaHoiva, he was able to see all that was taking place in the world. V'hoylo ha-sogos, alias neshama v'alias paradise, and he was able to send, as we saw before, his neshama was able to ascend and to go to the deepest and greatest, deepest places. Ha-soga mamash rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. that the Baal Shem Tov's neshama was able to rise to the place where Rabbi Akiva went with his colleagues, and you know that the three others were destroyed in one way or the other by the experience of going up to that place that's called the Mysteries of Paradise, of the orchard, of the great orchard, and Rabbi Akiva was the only one who was nichnas b'shalom v'yotze b'shalom, who went in peace and left in peace. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, he says that he had a Kabbalah. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was regularly making these journeys. It was a shuttle. It wasn't a one-time trip. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was going back and forth from this world to that world, to the place that's called the Paradise. Again, without moving from his place. He didn't have to go stand somewhere and wait for a lift. He was sitting in his room. The Gili Eliyahu, the revelation of Eliyonov, and with every single motion, even the simplest physical motions, there were Yichudim Neroyim, there were great unifications that were taking place. That's why when the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was alive, those who were attached to him were able to know, and they were able to say, that when it was, let's say, a Tuesday, if it was Tuesday at 1:31, then they have stories that one would say to somebody else when a stranger would come to see the Baal Shem Tov, the ones who were attached to the Baal Shem Tov would say, it's 1:31, wait, and you'll see that at 1:32, the Baal Shem Tov is going to move his head this way, and turn his head that way, and move his elbow a certain way, and all of these motions were exactly attuned to what was taking place. And therefore they would say it could be a Lag BaOmer, it was a Rosh Hashanah, it was a Yom Kippur, and it was all different. It was completely different. And they were able to know exactly the tenuas by the movements of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. In every single tiniest motion, the tiniest motion, everything was al pi kavanis, with intentions of bringing about these yichudim, these unifications in the higher world. And the Baal Shem Tov was the one who gave us a way to truly understand the teachings of the Arizal, of the Darkei Hashem and the way to serve Hashem. As I mentioned last week, that although the Kisvei Ha'ari, the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, had spread a great deal by the time the Baal Shem Tov was born, during that period of time, it was a relatively short period of time, but during that period of time, the Ari HaKadosh's teachings were available. Nevertheless, the Arizal was speaking and teaching in a very mysterious way. For any who has ever ventured to look into the Kisvei Ari, you know that it doesn't really, unless you've had many, many, many hakdamas, it doesn't make sense. You can't just read it. It's very, very deep. And it's speaking about things that all types of images and illustrations are being used to describe things that are spiritual in a way that's beyond the comprehension of the average person. And what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh did is he brought the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh down in such a way where he showed us how to serve Hashem and how to live as Jews. Even the simplest Jews, we're going to learn, even the simplest, most unlearned person in the world, as long as that person is a Jew and believes in Torah Smaisha, that person is able to serve Hashem even in a simple way and to bring about all these wondrous things. Be'amuna, and he taught us how to believe in Hashem, u'b'chol ha'midas tovus shebe'olam, and all the good midas of this world. And the Kamarna ends by saying, Halavai, if only I could be dust and ashes under his feet. Reb Leib Saris, Mitzvah, at a future time we'll talk about Reb Leib Saris. Reb Leib Saris was also one of the earlier Talmidim, the earlier Tzaddikim, was Reb Leib Saris. He was called Reb Leib Saris because his father, there are a number of reasons which we'll talk about when we discuss his life, but there was Almaisa with his birth, and when his mother was a great Tzaddikis, and his father was Nifter, and they called him Reb Leib Saris. That means Reb Leib, the son of Sarah. So Reb Leib Saris was a great Tzaddik, and this, the author of the Sefer Sifsei Kodesh, says that he heard from the Tzaddik Reb Leib Saris, Shapam Achas Haya Eitzel Aviv Hazokein. The Reb Leib Saris was once by an old man who was the father of this other person. By Yoiskim Sipuri Tzaddikim, they were telling stories of the Tzaddikim. And the Sayyid Kach Dibru Me Baal Shem Tov. And they began to talk about Baal Shem Tov. When they began to talk about the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Leib Saris' body began to tremble. And he said, Vomar, Ata Shoyal Alatana Akadish, you're asking me about the holy Tana. He called the Baal Shem Tov a Tana, like one of the masters of the Mishnah from many, many years before. You ask me about a Tana Kodesh, and he omelecha, Ma hoya Baal Shem Tov. Let me tell you, Reb Leib Tzaris, who the Baal Shem Tov was. Im hoya bedor ha-gaonim, if the Baal Shem Tov would have lived at the period of the Gaonim, hoya gaon, he would have been a gaon. Ubedor Amoraim, if he would have lived during the time of the Amoraim, hoya Amoira, he would have been an Amoira. Ubedor ha-tanoim, in the generation of the Tanoim, hoya Tan, he would have been a Tan. Ubedor ha-neviim, hoya Novi, he would have been a prophet. Ubedor avos ha-kedoshim, hoya ish misuyam. And if then he, then everybody's, you know, holding their breaths. If he would have lived at the time of the Avos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so they were all waiting, and he said, the Rebbe said, he would have been a certain person. He said, Hoya ish misuyam. Mahu ish misuyam. And then the Rebbe says, well, what do I mean by a certain person? Geshem shoyim elokei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, kach hoya oimim elokei Yisrael. If he would have lived then, we would now be saying in Shema Esrei, elokei Avram, elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Yisrael, Baal Shem Tov. It was still be Magen Avram. Hashem promised, B'cha Chosmim, right? The Chasimah belonged to Amzat Mavina. And the last thing, and then maybe we just spent 2 minutes at the beginning to discuss the Baal Shem Tov's life. The last piece on the bottom. One on the bottom. Harav HaKadosh Reb Shalom Belz of Salamar. I think this is a good way to end these statements. Just some of these, there are thousands. This was just a selection. Harav HaKadosh Reb Shalom Belz of Tzal said, HaBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh Hoya Chatichas Eish. The Baal Shem Tov was a piece of fire, Sheyardim and Hashemayim, who came down from heaven, the Levush Adam in a physical body. It's a piece of fire. Ramish, a piece of fire. No, there was, there's a Maisa from one of the Tzadikim. One of the earlier tzaddikim, there was a ma'isa that it's brought down. I think from the I don't remember, but there was a ma'isa. There was a certain thing that happened. That there was a fire. There was a fire in a certain place. A fire had broken out, and everybody, all the people there were starting to scream and to run. You know, in the old days, the fire bed now, in the old days, the whole city would go up in 5 minutes. So they all ran and they got the tzaddik. They got the tzaddik. And they brought the tzaddik there, and the tzaddik was standing where the fire was approaching, and the tzaddik went over to the fire, and the whole fire went out. I forgot this. Amaisi Shahayat brought down a lot of this fire. And then there was the Kiddush Hashem, and the Jews, it's the end of the story, is that the Jews were from that time, at least, I guess, for a couple of years, there were no pogroms, and they left them alone. There's a big Kiddush Hashem. Then it says, there were tzaddikim that knew how to put out fires, so the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was a tzaddik who had to make a fire, to bring a fire into the world, and that was the avodah of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, was to bring that fire from Shemayim. And like we saw the story last week from the Holy Rebbe of Elimelech from Lezhensk, the sparks that came out from that fire, the Baal Shem Tov, the sparks that went throughout the world, that every single spark that came from the Baal Shem Tov, that a spark gave life to the Jew over here and this Jew in this other place, and the Kol Nidchi Yisrael, Mamish, any Jew who's a Nidach, who's pushed away to the furthest end of the world. And the Chassidim believe, Ben Munah Shleima, that if not for the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that there wouldn't be a Jew left in the world. And that seems to be a very, very extreme thing. And of course, if you would say that in the presence of those who are not believers in these things, that would be mocked and scoffed. And that's okay. It makes it that much more exciting to believe in it. But the emunah in the Baal Shem Tov, to believe in the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that we see, I believe, ad hayoyim, to this very day, no matter who a Jew is, if he's a Ben Yisrael, if he's a Jew, that person is Jewish by birth, from a Jewish mother. Of that person is Jewish because of that person has entered into the bris, into the covenant of Avraham Avinu through conversion, which means that was a Yiddish neshama. It's a Jewish soul that was lost and came back. That no matter how irreligious that person might be, no matter how much that person claims not to believe in the master of the world, no matter how much that person screams and kicks and yells, he won't put on tefillin, she's not going to keep Shabbos. If you open up one of the swarm, if any of the Talmud Yad Baal Shem Tov, and that person will sit and learn with you for a little bit, that the fire is going to be lit. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of the person being the teacher, believing in those teachings completely. And it's a matter of the person who's listening to at least have a midah taiva,
to at least have an ear that's inclined to listen. That's inclined to listen. That if that spark touches, just like we see from Yosef HaTzadik, we know that they were afraid. How could it be? How could the Jewish people, how are we ever going to stand up before Amalek, before our enemy? How could it be, right? The big question, how could we stand up to the question that our avos had, that our ancestors had? How are we going to manage? The whole world is against us. So you remember Chazal said to us that the reassurance was to what, by Hashem, was to what could this be compared to a huge, huge, huge load of flax, of like cotton, whatever. And it's tons and tons, you know, buildings. So he says, one little spark. From one spark of fire will put out, will destroy the whole thing. So the high base Yaakov la'esh, base Yosef la'havah. That what? That the house of Yaakov is a fire, and the house of Yosef is a flame, and base Esav and the house of Esav is like straw that's going to be burnt by the fire of the Jewish people. And so too, Esav is not, Esav, we might not know who Esav is, we might not know who Amalek is, we don't see Amalek, we don't know who Amalek is. But certainly we know that inside each and every one of us, whatever is keeping us away from holiness, whatever's holding us back from being the kind of Jews that we need to become, that we can become, that we want to become, whatever's holding us back, that that straw that's holding us back, with one spark of the flame of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that entire obstruction, that Esav, that Amalek that's inside of a Jew, can be completely consumed, can be destroyed. We should be zeichen with Hashem to see the time, like we know, we'll see in that letter, that when the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh asked the Mashiach, when he asked him, Master, when are you, when his neshama, when the Baal Shem Tov had an Aliyah's neshama, and he asked Mashiach, Sir, when are you going to be coming into the world? So the response, part of the response of the of Mashiach Zekain with the Baal Shem Tov was, when the wellsprings of your teachings will spread through the world, and when the wellsprings of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings will spread through the world, then it will be time for Mashiach that came to arrive. We should be zeichet to see that. Amen.